You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself.
Final Word Daily, Adam Collins and Jeff Lehman here at the Oval. Day one of the World Test Championship final between Australia and India for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. That's how today felt for Australia. Jeff, 30 seconds, go.
Okay, it was a hell of a start, really compelling first hour or so. Shami and Siraj moving the ball around. Khawaja nicks off. Warner's clinging on for dear life. He gets through it, starts throwing the bat around, makes some runs, gets to 43 just before the lunch break. Gloves one down the leg side. Labuschagne falls just after lunch. 72 for three in some strife, Australia, but no, in comes Travis Head. Runnable 100, I said, when he was on about four. Peeled one off. Did exactly that. He's on 146 at the close. Put on 251 with Smith, who's on 95, not out himself. The sun came out and it just got a lot easier.
Yeah, that felt that way, didn't it? The sun came out during the lunch break. 157 they made in the final session from 34 overs.
I probably should have
overs.
Said the score, which is 300 and
327 for three. 85 overs, so they lose five, you know, because that's the way it goes these days. Smith 95, Head 146 from 156 balls.
Yep.
Got off the mark with a four. Second scoring shot was a four. You're right, it was if it were foretold. He had a strike rate of 120 when he was on 40-odd. And so it continued. He was just so willing to back his swing, and when Head's in that kind of mood and when it's coming off, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Well, we've seen him do it so many times before, and obviously I've been writing about him today, because what else would you write about? But the Ashes match in Brisbane, the Ashes match in Hobart, the 92 off 96 against South Africa at Brisbane on the pothole two-day pitch, even the way he batted in India with lower scores, but in low-scoring games.
The 49 not out of
the 49, not the 46 in Delhi in quick time as well, 43 off 46 balls in Delhi. The way that he's been able to counter-attack and make it work. Like, a lot of players can try to counter-attack, but somehow in the last 2 to 3 years, Travis Head has had this remarkable consistency with that style of batting. He was playing in the way that England like to talk to themselves about playing before they started doing it.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. Way. I mean, he was baz-balling before baz-ball was baz-ball. Right?
I was like, just trying to avoid saying it, but then you said it three
why
times
not?
In a sentence.
I'm very happy to. But, you mean, you look back at the arc of this, it does start in 21-22 when he made the fastest Ashes 100 in Australia, was it? Or maybe at Brisbane, one or the other, maybe both. And then he does something similar at Hobart on a genuine green top against the pink ball. Most of that was under lights.
Yep.
And the other innings you mentioned.
And on both occasions, Hobart, they're three down for not many. I mean, in Brisbane, they'd already gone past England's score, but still with the ball moving around, if another wicket falls at that point, maybe they're all out.
I think he walked in when they lost two wickets.
They were three for 189.
Yeah, it was more the the energy of the day when he walked in on that occasion. And yeah, it's as though it doesn't happen every time. You need to provide a degree of leeway with players like this that it's improbable with him slashing as he does outside the off stump that will bring your demise before you're in. But when he gets in quickly, he transfers so much pressure. Again, it kind of is the England equivalent. When they get on top early in an innings with Crawley or whoever it is, you can see the fielding side, their shoulders drop. Yeah. Or mentally, it's hard to bounce back from or to stick with. And so it was for India today, because they did bowl well, pretty well, I thought, in the first session throughout. Even, like, it looks on with the exception of Umesh Yadav, who went around in his first spell. Yeah. But the other three seamers all were doing a job, and they all picked up a wicket, as it happens. But, yeah, the rest of it, after lunch, sun's out, it was a bowl-first morning, come and set as much. But I do wonder, that old sort of military saying, isn't it, that you try and win the war with the previous war's tactics. I think there was a bit of that. We heard from India during the week. They didn't want to make the same mistakes as Southampton 2021. And I think what they were really saying was they wanted a decision-making structure for not picking Ashwin.
Right.
And they wanted a decision-making structure for winning the toss and bowling against Australia.
Mm.
And they've fallen into both traps. I think not picking Ashwin remains a mistake. Umesh Yadav was surplus to requirements. And even though Cummins would have bowled too, once the weather got better, and it's going to get better and better from here, it was a paradise to bat on.
That's the thing. I mean, and it did change quickly. The note I'd make coming back to Travis Head is he's not one of those players who counter-attacks and thus will make a bunch of low scores and occasionally come off. That's been the real anomaly about Travis Head's career, is that he almost always makes a contribution.
Yeah.
He has one of the lowest proportions of single-figure scores of anyone who's played a decent number of innings.
Right.
So even when he doesn't make a huge score, he still makes a 20 or a 30 or, you know, a 15 or a 45. Okay. He makes something. He because he scores so quickly, he comes out and scores even if he's only there for a short space of time. So you remember at Birmingham in 2019, or you might not remember because it wasn't.
No,
they,
I do.
They weren't big scores, but he bats with so Smith important. In both innings.
Yeah, yeah, 35 and 51. And, like, again, I did see some parallels, I think I said it on comms, between Birmingham and when he walked out today. I think it was earlier, it was 3 for 50 odd in Birmingham in that first innings, and in the second innings even earlier. And he had to put a shift in, and he did counter-attack. He scored a decent clip.
Today he takes the upper hand. In Birmingham he was happy to be more the supporting role, whereas he comes out here in the first over. So Shami's just taken the wicket, and in the same over he's opening the face and gliding four through third. Then he's driving through cover, then he's flicking through mid-wicket, he's going aerial. He had 28 off 18 balls, and that was the point that I made a little note in my notebook, that suddenly, you know, India were looking unhappy. He'd put on 37, Smith had scored 8 of them, and Travis Head had scored 28 of them, and had done so at such a quick clip that suddenly Rohit Sharma's moving his field around, he's pushing players back, they're starting to change up the bowling tactics a bit, they're trying to drop in a short one or go wider and all of these sorts of things. So if you can get in someone's head, if you can get in the other team's head while only putting 30-odd onto the scoreboard, you know, it hadn't changed the game at that point, but the game changes after that point. Yeah, that's the influence.
Well, that's right. And when you've kind of laid the base, you are free to be the best expression of yourself if you're someone like Travis Head, which includes the uppercuts over the slip cordon that most batters wouldn't consider playing until, like, far deeper into an innings. But that for him is just a process of accumulation.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's a shot without risk, but the way he plays it, it's so full-blooded. Every short ball he seemingly took a swipe at. He missed most of them, by the way.
Yeah.
But those he did make contact with ended up somewhere around the rope. And that's just been the lived experience of watching Travis Head since the switch was flicked. Remember, he was only dropped 5 test matches ago, which seems inexplicable now for that Nagpur test match. I know at the time we all looked back at Sri Lanka and Pakistan, saw the average of 15 across those two series and 5 test matches in the middle of last year, and saw it as reason enough to try maybe something different in a horse for course debate, thinking that Head wouldn't be as adept against the spinning ball. But in seeming conditions, he was dropped after Melbourne 2020 in a bad rut against India. He was dropped for this test match, or I say this one, the Oval Test match against England in 2019, which I know how much those moments have dented his confidence. He's not a brash guy. He's not a super confident guy. In fact, he's got a lot of insecurities about all sorts of things. But I think they can be well and truly parked to one side after a day like today. It feels to me like this is the sort of innings that buys you 2 years in the team. You know what I mean? These are the sort of match-winning hands, if it proves to be that way,
that
get you more credit in the bank than maybe beating up on England a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think being left out at the start of the India series wasn't... It, in a way, you can't even count it as an omission. You know, it wasn't, you're not good enough. It was, in these very specific circumstances, we don't think this is the highest percentage play, basically. And I think,
and it was a stuff up, obviously. We saw that as the series went on.
Yeah, but I mean, that's very easy to define in retrospect, and not so much at the time. So, Mohammad Shami and Mohammad Siraj, I'd like to talk about. My God, like that first sort of 12 overs or so, that was absolutely gripping. Like every delivery, you were fixed on it as they were coming in. They had the ball doing all sorts. The one that leaps up and jams Labuschagne on the glove, the bounce of the one that goes past Khawaja's edge and just took a little whisper of the bat. The way that Warner was having to hop and fend at the ones that are zooming past him and then swinging in and crashing into the pads and the appeals going up, the ball going down the leg side. And then the way that Warner buckled down against that was impressive as well. But yeah, just that opening burst of bowling. And I couldn't help thinking, well, you know, imagine if they had this plus Jasprit Bumrah to come in.
Yeah.
Well, not that he would have been bowling first change, but you know, and Shardul Thakur came in and did a good job after that. But that opening burst, I mean, the quality of that pair, Shami in particular, just bowls some balls where you think, well, how does anyone not get out?
It was a suffocation, wasn't it? I think they were, I don't know, 9 runs from 5 or 6 overs. Khawaja's out in the fourth over, actually, with just 2 runs on the board. It's not the kind of test cricket we've been conditioned to watching in the UK over the last 12 months. And yeah, having to absorb all that pressure, Khawaja chases one he didn't quite need to chase, but that's the way it goes when you're an opening batter. He would have been sat with his feet up all afternoon thinking, had I just got through that initial interrogation, then anything was possible. But not to be for him. I thought Warner batted really well. I thought the way that Warner was able to counter-attack, especially putting pressure on Umesh Yadav early on, 16 from one over, all 4 boundaries through the offside. They put the deep backward point in, so he opens the blade up to a more finer angle to find third man to finish that over. 2 dominant shots in front of point earlier in the over. That's the kind of, I guess, the kind of price signal the selectors are looking for. Like, can Warner still do that thing where he makes bowlers lose their bundle? And the short answer is yes. The more complicated answer is that he won't get more than 2 test matches at a time. I compared it today to you're at a nightclub and it's 2 a.m. and you say to your mate, who you say to here with, if we have 2 more bad songs, we're going home.
Okay.
If Warner has 2 bad test matches, he's going home, you know. And today means that he'll get 2 more on from this because he looked good. And look, he got caught down the leg side. You know, that happens, right? That's just a frustrating way to get out. That's I wouldn't call that anything more than a reflection of the fact that he wanted to keep the foot down and so it goes.
And it also reflects on the selection of Umesh, who, you know, is a bowler whose work I've loved at times over the journey. But out of all of those who were available for India, he's the one who has the largest gap between his best and his worst. And you get a fair bit of his worst for the occasions when you get his best. That spell of reverse swing that he bowled, was it in the third test in the series over in India earlier this
3
year.
3-for-2 spell, I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, tremendous operator with that older ball. But he can just lose it, and he can bowl short, wide trash a bunch, and that's exactly what he did today.
He isn't an English bowler. I kind of landed on this.
He's maybe an oval
bowler. I've gone round and round in circles on this for a couple of days now, right? Where I landed was before the first ball was bowled. Thakur is the horse for the course because of the way he bowls with the new Duke's ball and the way he can... We've seen it in South Africa a couple of winters ago. Umesh Yadav has played 3 tests in England across a 13-year test career. They don't pick him here.
Yeah.
And yet they've picked him for their biggest game on the roster this year, if you like. It just felt to me like Ashwin... I know that it may not feel like, well, why are you talking about a second spinner? But Ashwin's more than a second spinner. They play him like a medium pacer anyway. I mean, he's more than the average bear. He's not sort of your... He doesn't roll in and, you know, bowl little doorknobs. He's more a mystery spinner or a wrist spinner who comes out the side of the hand. And
more than a spinner to me.
Very good. I was wondering where you're going with that. But, yeah, the that to me would have put far more pressure on the left-handed Travis Head, especially than what they were able to achieve in Umesh's second and third spells, which were equally innocuous.
Well, what might have, whether it was pressure or not, like, I think Umesh Yadav could be an oval pick as an oval pick, but that's if the oval test is at the end of August or mid-September when it's dried out all summer, and he might get it to reverse. This isn't that pitch. It's June. They've never had a test at the oval in June before, ever.
I love that. That's a great stat, isn't it? They've had 104 test matches here.
Yep.
Only 4 venues in the world have had as much test cricket as this, and never one in the month of June, which I think is the driest month of the year, to recall from the 2019 World Cup. We did a bit of this, didn't we?
Well, April is the cruelest month, according to T.S. Eliot, but I'm not sure what's the driest month.
I've got a feeling like over the last 20... The point is, it's an odd thing, right?
It's an odd thing. Yeah. There have been a couple of oval tests in July, but that's it.
Yep.
So, okay, he might have been that pick at that time. Ashwin, if you play Ashwin, okay, maybe like the surface isn't going to help him and he's not going to come out and shred it and do what he did in Delhi or Nagpur, but Ashwin's going to be in Australia's heads. They're either going to be a little tentative against him because he's Ashwin and he just took a million wickets against them, or they're going to say, oh, sweet, we're playing Ashwin somewhere else. We're going to monster him. We're going to go after him. And that gives him an opportunity as well. That brings him into the game because you make players do something different. And I think that's the key thing that you hear in cricket all the time is make the opposition do something different to what they were planning to do. Get them out of their comfort zone. Go get them out of their pre-planned routine. And so if they go ultra aggressive against Ashwin, there's an opportunity. Maybe you pick up a catch or a miscue or one on the boundary or whatever it is.
Exactly what I thought when Moeen Ali got brought into the England Test squad today. What would have Australia wanted out of all that? They would have wanted Moeen Ali.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a conversation for the weekly show, and no reflection on Moeen, by the way. More the, as Ali Martin's described it in The Guardian, the vibes-based selection that Moeen Ali constitutes for the Ashes that start next week. But this is the World Test Championship final, and now it's time for our final word, Hall of Fame. Final Word Hall of Fame is brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. And Jeff, I have more to tell you.
Please.
From last week.
Okay.
How is this? Shepherd's Bush, where you nearly ended up last week.
Yep, accidentally
Westfield,
on the train.
Westfield, London.
Yep, that was a misfield to Westfield.
Some of the best Indian food in the world. Copper Chimney. I talked to Brad about it yesterday. A proper Mumbai icon. Yeah. It's been there for 50 years, an extensive cocktail menu.
Yep.
And we're going to go there. I don't quite know how, but you and I are going to have some fine dining at Copper Chimney.
It's also something an Australian builder might say if you're putting a house together. What do you reckon? I think you should Copper Chimney.
I thought you were going to say build a copper chimney. Either way, Bindus is the modern take on classic Indian street food, also there. And you can move on to Pat Shack, All Star Lanes, or Flippers Roller Boogie Palace.
Oh, hello.
I think that's
they
what
have two bad songs in a row, though.
we're roller skating home. But can you skate?
I have not roller skated since I was about 8.
Well, I reckon it's probably 13 for me. I never roller bladed.
No.
But I didn't have roller blading was more our thing in the 90s.
Okay, yeah.
But I reckon I probably could roller skate. So what we should do is get a belly full of food at Bindas or at Copper Chimney, then Flippers,
head down to the roller disco.
Flippers Roller Boogie Palace, and away we go. Westfield.co.uk/United Kingdom/London to see everywhere you can eat, drink, shop or play at Europe's largest shopping centre, London, Stratford City, Westfield, more extra, less ordinary.
Okay, well, it's good that I know at least that the NHS and Medicare have a reciprocal thing, so when I inevitably shatter at least one bone trying to roller skate backwards.
We're going to do a night there. Why don't we do a final word thing at the roller disco? I can see this happening.
Do you want to tell your crush that you want to go out? Like, you take Rachel there and hope it's a better first date than Bay 13.
I better not do it before the wedding. I actually fell down the stairs this morning. I didn't tell you about this, but I fell down the stairs of my house holding a glass, and I made it to the Oval this morning. Had the glass, thankfully. Yeah, I'm quite sore as it happens, but you know that's what happens when you're trying to rush to the cricket at stupid o'clock on morning one, and there's so much to do. Hall of Fame, you go first.
Hall of Fame. I'm going to go with the many, many wild, erratic bounces that the umpires just didn't seem interested
what
in.
What is going on?
Because the over.
This is ridiculous.
My theory is because the over rate's so slow, and umpires are generally too gutless or powerless to enforce the over rate in any way. They're like, well, I can't make you bowl it again, even though it was 3 metres over his head and 3 metres down the leg side, because that will waste valuable time. This is for wasting teachers' valuable time. But there were some of the most egregious wides I've ever seen, and they were like, nah, play on.
We need to have a proper sort of like summit on bouncer wides. Jimmy Anderson, his dismissal at Christchurch, Wellington? Wellington.
Mount Maunganui.
I think it was Wellington.
Yeah.
The ball before it from Wagner that was clearly a wide that's been screenshotted a million times and sent around. I'm not saying that I'm angry about that result, more that like... And I'm not saying that it wouldn't have changed.
But that was less a wide than the wides today.
But they're all really bad decisions that are being made, and it's like bad leg before calls that are given not out. The one, you know, just because you give something not out that's plumb, that's just as bad as giving out someone who smashed it onto their pad. Same applies with wides. Get it together. We need to think about this more objectively, because you're right. There's nothing right about this, and they're using it to bank dot balls to manage the strike. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that's clearly going on here. So anyway, a gripe of mine too. Mine is when Jinkaa Rahane, back in the side today, he and Warner have known each other for what, 15 years playing in the IPL against each other.
Yep.
When that ball reared up and smashed Labuschagne in the glove, and what a ball that was.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them put their bats in there, you know, in Warner's case, put his bat down, and Rahane, and they did like the pitch inspector thing, got up nice and closer. Is that the spot? It's like Roland Garros with it for the French Open this week, when you go down to the chair umpire and circle where the spot is to say whether it's a fault or not. The same thing was going on with these two, who were giving the impression, I felt for the ground staff here, but you know, it was always going to flatten out, it always does here, but for 5 minutes when a couple reared up. But yeah, I just like the two old pros, Rahane and Warner, they've been doing this forever, still playing the game a little bit like this.
Yeah, you can imagine them like in some sort of Scandinavian crime drama sort of thing, pulling up in the car, getting out, poking around the crime scene. What do you think about this one? Is that the footprint? Yeah, it looks like a footprint. Interesting. You know,
it's got the subtitles down the bottom because we can't understand what Warner and Rahane are saying.
Well, they probably can't understand each other either.
No, that's right.
Just cross purposes after all these years.
That's it from us, I reckon. So the Final Word Hall of Fame, as we say, brought to you by Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. Get down there for all the Indian food you could possibly want. That'll be our show for today. Travis Head closes on Stacks.
146.
And Steve Smith is a few runs away from a 20... I don't even know anymore.
Ninth.
No, I think he's made 30 test tests, hasn't he?
He's made 30, hasn't he?
Yeah. The point is,
he did the Michael Clarke, then he did Bradman, and then he, so to speak, then he got to 30.
Yeah. 251's the partnership. Remember when Bradman and Potts were put on 451 out here?
I do.
They bat till 2 tomorrow.
251 is the 51st biggest Australian test partnership. So it's got 50 to go.
I'm thinking these guys at sea, they pass Bradman and Pontsford from 34 at this ground. Laying a marker. Final word, daily, Adam Collins, Jeff Lemon. Night.
See ya. In my future questions, my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.